Yeah, but honestly, this is off script too, like freestyling. But
I think one off thing, script. Freestyle's the best, baby. Let's freestyle.
Freestyle's the only style, man. Well, one thing I've always I'm big on, man, is just waking up with gratitude. Like I've been really big into that, you know, especially lately. You know, these new jobs, these new opportunities that I've had.
Yeah.
I look back like the past year, and you talked about it with growth. Which is crazy. Like I'm thinking about right now, like as far as like where I came from. Actually, I'm from Florida. In case you didn't know, I'm actually from Orlando. I'm right around the way. But just a year ago, you know, I was in Orlando, working at you know high school level, like you know training athletes out there. And fast forward, you know, 1 year, you know, one thing led to another. I was able to go to you know a college, a D2 college, where I was working with athletes, and then now. You know, having an opportunity to work in California, you know, with this great company with like high level coaches that have been in the NBA, like the NFL, things like that, working with athletes and just people in general. And it's amazing. And I look back and I'm like, you know, I have so much to be thankful for then and I have so much to be thankful for now. But it's when I started looking, you know, obviously at my life as a way of understanding that, you know, it's okay that I'm not at the NBA level or wherever, you know, whatever level that, you know, maybe I thought of in the past, like, oh, that's going to make me happy. I'm like, you know what? I'm happy training athletes. Like, I love this. I'm going to give everything I have to this because I'm grateful for it because it can be taken away at any moment. And then like your family, your friends, being grateful for them. I think when you have gratitude, I think that's when you can really start giving your best. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
when you're really grateful for something, you understand that that could be gone tomorrow. That's when you really cherish and you'll cherish the opportunity, the little things. That's when you start taking your game and your craft to the next level. But one thing I want to ask, man, like how important is gratitude for you, man? Like waking up every day, like obviously like you have so much spirit, so much life and like so much fire. Like what is it like waking up and just, you know, having that thought like, man, like 20 years ago, like I was here and now I'm here and just having that gratitude every single day.
Yeah, that's a great point. I call it the law of familiarity because once you become familiar with something, it sucks away the passion. It sucks away the newness. It sucks away the gratitude if you let it. And so every day, you know, even LeBron James, as great as he is, he's got to fight, you know, the human nature to not, you know, be grateful to make sure his actions every day, his thoughts to himself, his thoughts to his actions toward others is grateful. You know, you're thankful for the opportunity because I gotta fight it, man. I've been playing ball since I was 8 and I've been real, real successful for the last decade. It took me 10 years to build up in the last decade. It's business is rolling, you know. But it's intentional. I mean, you gotta renew your mind. Whether you're spiritual or not, you have to have solitude and alone time to renew your mind, to clean out the negative thoughts, fill it with positive thoughts. Somehow, you know, 90% of illnesses are self-inflicted, which means people don't know how to deal with stress. They make bad choices. So you got to find a way to get stress out your life. And man, Xavier, for me, it's everything. It's everything. If I'm not grateful, then I don't protrude a passionate spirit. I'm bitter. I'm angry. I'm anal. I'm negative. But if I'm grateful, right, I have a light. I'm thankful. I have more joy. I see the glass is half full. I'm optimistic. Right? I'm more creative. My mind is clear. I mean, it's everything. It's one of the reasons why I start every day with the word, with talking to God, with, you know, thanking. You know, to me, Thanksgiving is every day. Our family and I, we end the day by thanking God for everything that happened. And that's one word that I make sure that they always say, thank you. Always in my emails, man, thank you. Even if people disagree with me, thanks for your time. You know, respectfully, I disagree, but man, I thank you for your time. It's something that keeps kids focused, right, through the days they don't feel like working out. Because if you don't feel like working out today, Man, I always think about this. It could be a whole lot worse.
You know? Right.
Oh, you don't feel like working out today? All right, go trade places with the kid who's got cancer in the children's hospital right now. They got 18 tubes running through his body. I guarantee that he's fighting for his life and you're fighting to get out of bed. Are you kidding me? It's all, you know, it's that kind of, oh, I'm, you know, here I am. And I go through a complaint, man, I didn't get this business deal, or man, I should be at that camp working out that player. How did they hire this guy? Right. Man, I want to do that. Right. I want to do that. Why didn't they call me? Why didn't that, you know, shoe company let me do that? Or, man, are you kidding me? You start to play the comparison game, man, you get caught. You get caught into self-pity. You get caught into self-absorption. And you get distracted, right? You bring in all this unnecessary stress because you're not great. Well, you kidding me? You're not grateful for where you're at, what you have. Man, yeah, I could have been in an NFL. Or no, you're not. You got something better. You own your own business. Nobody tells you what to do. You can train any player, any sport in the world. There's no ceiling on your success. You're blessed. There's a lot of people in the NFL that would love to do what you do. You know, so you got to kind of look at that perspective as, nah, man, everybody's anointed to do something. Everybody's graced to do something. Most likely, you know, God's got you where you need to be. You just got to focus on what time is it now, where you at here. You know, I always have my kids repeat that when I feel like, man, it's the moment. And so today is the best day of life. Go out and get after it. And that's how I focus on being grateful.
No doubt, man. I love the fact that you even, you know, at the end you talked about, like, you know, you're here now. I think a lot of, like you said, like, we all go through it too, man. Like, we all, like, me, I go through it. I'm pretty, like, you know, my girlfriend, she goes through it, my family, everyone. Like, they have those moments where they're like, damn, and like, I wanted that, or I should have got this. And you know, like, I think it's human nature to, like, play, like, you know, just play the comparison game, or it's just, like, something that, you know, everyone goes through. But, you know, like you said, I think comparison is the thief of all joy. So when you're comparing yourself, or, you know, your situation to someone else's, like you say, you don't know what that person went through to get that thing. You don't know what they went through to get that situation. Like, they could have gone through something that you have no clue about. But it's like, we're, you know, I'm sitting here like, man, like, wow, how so-and-so do that? Not knowing that, you know, like, they had to grind for 10 years to get that position. That's the first, you know, opportunity they ever got. And I'm complaining because I'm looking at IG thinking, oh, okay, cool. Like, you know, they got this for knowing so-and-so. Like, it's those little things that, you know, I look back on. I'm like, man, like, I got to know that, you know, I'm here for a reason. I'm in this situation now for a reason. I gotta learn from this situation. And that's so important, to being present. Like, I think, you know, Alan Stein talks about that a lot, is that, you know, be where your feet are, you know, like, be mentally in the moment, the game of basketball and life, whatever it is you're doing, because you're focusing on what happened, you know, before. You can't change that. And if you're worried about the future, there's nothing you can do about that either, because right now is the only moment we have, and we just got to focus on that and make the best of what we have now at every moment. So that's one thing I always talk about. It's like, look, make sure you're present, be where your feet are, and that way you can get the most out of that moment, because those moments are what are going to lead to, you know, you getting that position that you want, or whatever the case may be, and, you know, having that patience along with it. I think that's a nasty combo, man. That's where it's at.
Yeah, you're right, and it is the thief of all joy. But the thing is, if you see something and you want that, well, then, number one, can you control the uncontrollables? You know, can you control yourself getting that? If you have no control over that situation, then let it go. But if that's something that, okay, that I see that, I want that, that's attainable goal, then go for it. And most likely, if you're prepared and you're organized, you probably can achieve that goal. So, you know, nothing wrong with seeing stuff and say, hey, I want that too, or I'd love to do that. Well, then go for it. But a lot of times you're going after something that's out of your control, that the only way you're going to get that is through God's anointing or grace or supernatural, you know, life happening. And so if you can't control it, then you got to let it go. I love Alan Stein, man. He's a friend of mine, and worked the Nike deals for years, and I'm so glad now he's into a new arena in his life, being a speaker and a consultant, and you know, he loves basketball, so I follow him, and I was with him for 10, 11, 12 years. He and myself and Kevin Eason, we've spent a lot of time eating, talking, you know, just about life, and man, I'm learning so much from him now. It's awesome.
Right, man. Like, he's actually, it's funny, man, like, he kind of got me into, you know, the position that I am now, not from knowing him, but just he inspired me, man, just watching him watch the players and physically preparing them, like, through, you know, the ways, through mobility, things like that. And I was like, man, like, I want to do that. I want to work with basketball players. And so, like, him just, it's crazy how many people he's poured into that, you probably don't even realize it. Like, man, he's inspired a lot of people. That's what it's about. It's about inspiring others to change the world, you know, through their own ways. And that's how you change the world. You change the world not by making some crazy invention or you know, something, a crazy discovery. You change the world by changing the lives of the people around you so they can change the lives of people around them. And from that, it's a ripple effect. It just keeps on going.
Correct.
No doubt, man. So one thing I definitely wanted to talk about is, you know, Gannon Baker Basketball. That's your brand. It's what you created. How did that come to life? Like, you know, what was it in your mind that sparked, like, look, I want to create this vehicle to mentor people, mentor coaches, trainers, to train basketball players? Like, how did that come to life?
Well, I mean, I think everybody has crossroads in their lives, different seasons where they got to make an impactful choice that's going to affect them for years. And so for me, I just finished playing professionally in Iceland, and you know, the year before I retired from college coaching, because I coached in college for 5 years, and then I got out of college coaching in 99, went to go play in Iceland in 2000, and came back, and I had a tibial tendon injury, so I couldn't walk or do anything. I was in a boot for like 4 months, and another three and a half months after that till I could play again. So I just started my business through prayer, read The Purpose-Driven Life, The Prayer of Jabez by Bruce Wilkerson, sought, you know, my life source, and was like, God, man, what do I do? And I look back at some of my notes I had taken in college. I would always keep journals, and I just was writing down all these things that the program could do as fundraisers, you know, camps, after-school training, camp talks to raise money and awareness for the college I was working. I was like, man, why don't I just do that on my own? So I came up with a company name called Shake and Bake. Shake and Bake Basketball. And my name was Bake. I could shake together with Shake and Bake. So that's what I did. So it was LL Shake and Bake LLC. I put a little sticker on my Ford Expedition and lived at home until I got enough money to get my own apartment, and went into gyms with a card, saw who was playing, gave him my card, would show up at high schools talking to the high school coaches. It was my hometown, so people knew me, and ended up getting like two an elementary kid and a middle school kid. They were brothers, Thomas Frazier Johnson and Chris Frazier Johnson. They were my first two clients, and it's turned into 20 years later, you know, six continents, 47 countries, been on, you know, shared the court with world champions, not NBA players, but like world champions. Like I shouldn't be there. I'm not that good or smart, but yet I've been blessed enough to learn and so into world champions. Like, that's crazy. Right. And now I got a business in China that I'm half owner of. At least on paper. In China, they own everything, but at least on paper, I'm half owner. So we'll see. But that's been a blessing. Got 2,000 coaches that we've certified over there in about 6 months. And it's given me a new perspective on culture. And yeah, man, I live on the beach 5 minutes from, you know, the ocean. I walk outside. I can smell and hear the ocean. And got three beautiful kids, a wife that coaches junior college ball. You know, life is good. Life's been good to me. It hadn't been easy, not perfect, but it all came from, you know, a divine thought from God about doing something that's never been done. There was no internet, no social media. I think I had an email. I'm not even sure I had. I definitely didn't have a website. You couldn't look in the phone book and find basketball teacher. You know, everybody knew me in my hometown, and yet they still questioned. And I remember Boo Williams, right? The AAU famous coach. He was my AAU coach, man. I remember going to him saying, "Hey, Boo, man, I want to talk to your coaches and program." Because now in 2001, he had like 500 teams. So like, "Hey, Boo, I'd like to, you know, advertise my services in front of your program." And he's like, I'll let you do that, Gannon, but ain't nobody going to hire you. They don't want to work out for free, Gannon. They're going to pay you to work out. They don't do that for free. You know, they have an opportunity to work. And plus, Gannon, you scare kids, man. You crazy. You go too hard, you know. It's all good. You're doing the right thing, but kids are different. So, you know, it was tough because there was no proof of concept, you know. And, you know, the coaches were like, well, we're their coach. We can work them out. So it was hard, man. But again, I never doubted. I knew it was going to work because the only thing I really know in life is basketball. And the one thing that I've proved and I still prove is that people find value in me and they know that I'm genuine. So when I go work hard to make them better, man, there's not a human being on earth that won't want that. If you got a person in front of you that's working hard, like as hard as they can, like people call me the best, one of the best in my industry. I don't get caught up into that. But I tell you what, hey, I don't think anybody works as hard. And I don't think people can match. Ain't nobody can match my passion in that workout, in that clinic, in that, you know, conversation. Nobody. I put my passion and my physical intensity in workouts day in, day out against anybody in the world. Anybody. So that I knew I had that. And I work at 47. You'll get there, young fella. Yeah, I'm 22 years old. But at 47... Right, that's what gets me up out of bed. That's what gets me to go run. That gets me to go stretch. That gets me to go eat clean. That gets me to do my, like, 47. I'm still doing that, man. Still doing that to bring the physical intent. Now, I don't know if I can do that 10 years from now. We'll see. I hope I don't have to. I hope I've scaled this thing enough. But that's one thing that I had when I was 13. I still got. I knew that my physical intensity and my emotional passion was going to get me, you know, a successful business, get me enough clients, get me enough people in front of me that want to learn from me. And now I got to back it up. I got to keep learning. I got to keep growing with the game. The game has changed, man. You know, I'm sure in your industry, the way you train, the games, the athletes have changed in a good way. You know, I'm not
right.
So you got to change your techniques and stay current with the trends of the game. But and that's how I started, man. And then, you know, internet, social media, that's probably one thing that I regret is in 2009, I didn't do a good job maximizing social media. And from a business standpoint, I didn't do a good job of you know, supporting all these, you know, like Micah Lancaster, Allen, a guy named Tyler Ralph, Drew Hanlon. All these guys, you know, some of them work for me, but I could not, I could not, you know, keep them with me because of the financial pay. You know, I couldn't keep a real business with employees, and I didn't structure it. I probably should have had an investor and really kept this thing growing big. But that's the one regret I have is like, man, I had all these guys coming to me and wanting to be a part of my business. I didn't know how to, you know, form a business, you know, with guys under me because I was so traveling and I just was so busy with what I was doing. I couldn't manage all of them and mentor them enough to keep them with me, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Right. No, absolutely, man. I love the fact that you knew from, you know, like you always had, you know, that fire, that passion, and you like, and the confidence, you can hear it even when you say it, like, no, I'll put that up against anybody. Like, you just know, because you put the work in, you just know yourself. And like that's one of those things that you just carry with you. Like you always knew, okay, you know, what am I going to do? And like you said, you know, you had to grind, you made the cards, you went in and you handed them out. But nobody wants to do that nowadays, which is crazy to me. But, you know, like you know, like that was your passion. You were going to figure it out regardless of what anybody said to you, the circumstances. Like you were always, you beat the circumstances. You didn't let the circumstances beat you, get on top of you. And like that's that passion, man. So, and you touched on that a little bit. What I want to touch on a little bit more is, you know, mentorship, like having people, you know, inspired by you, you know, coming to you, you know, asking you, you know, can they learn from you? And even like, you know, part of, you know, your brand, like you have it on your website, like you offer a mentorship program, you know, so coaches can learn under you and get certified under you. So how important is, you know, mentorship to you, and what has it meant for you to inspire so many coaches and trainers?
Well, I mean, it's very, very important to me because I've revamped and rechanged my whole business 2 years ago to do it. You know, I did it for 17 years with players. And then in 2007, I dabbled into having a coaching class. And if they wanted to get certified, like FIBA has done, then they, you know, they could take a test and they could become GBB certified. Really doesn't mean anything because the GBB certification has no weight, but it's more mm-hmm. of a structured confidence. It forces people to learn, to go through the class and then to take a test just as a confidence thing and as another motivation to their goals. And then, so I was doing that in 2007 and it was all based on what I've seen overseas from the brief countries I went over there. And now you see everybody doing it, USA basketball, some skill trainers, which is fun. I mean, it's something. So now I've taken that after, you know, 17 years and I'm doing that. I'm trying to do it full time. And now I still train players. And I told somebody the other day, who do you train? I said, everybody, whoever can pay and can play, I mean, you know, so I'm a business owner. I don't, you know, McDonald's don't turn down customers. Right. So now there's your standards. I try to train kids at least 10 years old and up, but I've had some experience in China doing some 6 years old, if you can believe it, to 10 year olds. So that was interesting. Mm-hmm. And so I created a curriculum for that. But to me, mentoring is everything. Everybody needs a coach. Life is the game. The enemy is evil. And, you know, even tennis players have a coach. Like everybody, you can't be somebody without somebody. You know what I mean? So everybody that's ever done anything great has had people and a support system behind them. And so a mentor is exactly what it says. It's a man that tours your life. It's a woman that tours your life. So they give me access and transparency to, you know, everything that they want to learn. And so I go through it. I love it because I'm learning a lot from them. You know, I get a 22-year-old and I'm mentoring him. And then he shows me or tells me something. Man, that's good stuff. I'm going to use that. You know what I mean? So yeah. I'm open. I'm open-minded. I'm not a communist, you know. I'm open-minded to people. So I love it from that standpoint, because now that coach can go change thousands of lives, where that player, you know, does what he needs to do for himself. But that coach is, I mean, you're just creating leaders, and leaders are the pillars to this, you know, to communities. And then I love it because I can stay at home, you know, because my business, I'm on the road 5 to 6 months a year. That's negative, but I'm home 6 months, I mean, out the year doing, you know, pretty much what I want to do. I have a business team that runs my business, thank God, and I'm fortunate enough to have, you know, five, six on. The mentorship now allows people to come to me, and when we're growing it. We got about 500 people on our free mentorship program, and we do Zoom calls twice a month where it's a live web feed, and we just chop it up. I mean, we've had people from Africa to France to L.A. to Canada to Florida on it. It's beautiful. And then the people that want to ramp it up and be a master teacher, you know, they take the online curriculum and tests, and then they come see me for, anywhere between 2 to 7 days. I got a guy from Hong Kong coming to see me in January. Got three Chinese coaches coming from New York City seeing me in January. So it's a good thing. We're just trying to ramp it up and get more people involved. But, you know, I think you know this. Not everybody wants to be coached. In our end, we have a very narcissistic, I don't know if it's our industry or if it's every industry, but we have a narcissistic industry where you get guys that have that think they know the game because they're a good street ball player, or they played the game, or they just, you know, they just a very fanatic fan, and they think they can. It's basketball, right? It's not that hard, right? But here's the hard thing: can you connect? Can you get players the right information? You're giving them what you think you know, but there's always a better way to say it, do it, show it. So, you know, right. you get these experts that think that they know it, and basketball is a poor sport. You know, I've made a lot of not trying to brag, man, because my wife and I give a lot of our finances and blessings away, but I've made a lot of money at this game, and that's a miracle. That's a miracle from God, because this game, I mean, this game is poor. Like, people, pros, people don't want to pay, right?
Right.
USA Basketball, great platform they're doing, but a lot of it's boosted with volunteers. And it hurts me because I want to speak at a lot of these big-time events. I want to work out a lot of these NBA players, but it just comes down to, man, that's nothing wrong with that, right? But I got bigger goals as a business, and there's just not a lot of money into that. A lot of these guys, you work them out for free. These clinics, you got to do it for free, and that's nothing wrong with that. But it's a miracle that I've been able to be blessed financially from this, man, because it's just a poor sport. And so, a lot of coaches don't want to pay for education. They'd rather go on the internet and get stuff for free. So it's a very hard grind. It's a very hard grind, but it is a niche. And like you and I are investing right now, right? Like, we're not paying money, but we're investing our time, which is hard to do. But we know there's going to be a payoff. We're planting seeds. We're reaping. We're gonna reap it far down the line, you know. So that's why I'll sacrifice, I'll enjoy, because I'm giving to the game, the game's gonna give back to me. And that's the concept that, man, if kids can, there's one thing from this podcast that players and coaches can grasp. If you get, even though it's a poor sport, even though it's hard, right, to be great at anything, if you give all you got to the game, game's going to give back to you in the measure you use, and running over. So that's fact. I've been playing this game since I was 8. This game has changed my life, and I'm 47, and I am still grinding. You know what I mean? Still reaping benefits from seeds that I planted 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 11 years old in my grandparents' backyard. Like, you keep sowing into something positive, right? The fruit is going to keep it, you know, the fruit never dies. It never does, because what you dwell on grows, you know? And if you keep dwelling, you keep getting after it, you keep sowing, you keep pouring in, reciprocity, man, it comes back to you. So hopefully these coaches get fired up, man. And it doesn't have to be me, man. You know what I mean? If you're a leader, you gotta have a mentor. You gotta have a coach. You gotta have a soundboard. You gotta have, you know, obviously God is a mentor. For me, it's my wife, God, John Lucas and Kevin Eastman. You don't have to have 10 mentors, but you gotta have, you know, I call it a circle of five, your fab five, the fist. You could have five people closing to a fist, raising in the air, and that's power, right? That's might. You got to have people that you can go to, and then it are going to be genuine and keep it real with you. OGs, if you will. You know, your mentor can't be younger than you. You know, fact.
Right.
Like, all my mentors are way smarter than me, got way more life into me. Now my wife's 10 years younger. Okay, that's different. That's I don't know. It's not really a mentor, but she's a sound. You know, she's definitely smarter than me. She's a sounding board. But you know, if you're trying to find a mentor, man, they have the same passion and vision as you, and they have information and experience that can relate to you. Does that make sense?
No, without a doubt, man. And before I forget this, you talked about like having a team. Shout out to Rebecca for helping put this together. I know we was emailing back and forth for a little bit, but you talk about, you know, having that fist, like that's so important, like having those five people, because like you're the average of, you know, the five people you're around the most. And so they look at your circle, like who am I hanging around, you know, the most, like who are my mentors, if you have one. And like you said, man, it's so funny. Like everyone, it's funny. Everyone knows a narcissist, but no one's a narcissist, right? So it's the point. Like even in our industry, where we have all these people that don't want to be coached, like you said, they don't want to learn from somebody else. They think they know it all. But you really, honestly, like you look at some of the greatest, you know, leaders, teachers. Like they didn't have an ego, right? They were like, oh, I can learn from anybody. It doesn't matter. And I feel like that gets lost, man. Like for me, like I know, like going for the rest of my life, like I know the day I stop learning is the day I stop moving. That's the day I die. All right. Because the day you stop learning, like you're not going to grow as a person, as an individual, like regardless of your craft. So I think that's big. Like the fact that you're coming out and you're saying, you know, regardless of all the things that I've done, you know, NBA, like world champions all over the world, and you still have mentors, you still have people that you learn from. And that's huge. Like coaches and trainers, they need to understand, like you need to have, like you said, like you don't have to have 10, but start seeking someone who you can actually learn from, at least one, and then build from there. But no, that's huge, man. I love the fact that you said that and how detailed and you know, all the value you just gave with that answer. Cause I think that's missed, man. I think a lot of people don't want to be coached, like you said, because of the ego. They think they know it all, and you never will. There's no way.
Yeah, and another point is, if you're searching for a mentor, you really don't want to have somebody that really knows you, because subconsciously they're concerned about your feelings, and so you need to have people mentor you that don't give a crap about you. They respect you, they respect you, and they respect themselves enough that they're not gonna give you BS, but they're gonna shoot it straight to you. Like John Lucas, like he and I aren't tight. We say we love each other, but he don't care about my feelings. He doesn't know me too personally. So if I call him and ask him for advice, he gonna say, Gannon, you're a dumbass. What are you doing? somebody else might not call you a dumbass. They might say, yeah, you know, you're okay. Man, you gotta confront conflicts in your life. Without confrontation, there is no resolution. You know, one of the things that I really try to be is genuine. You know, as I said, I got to be a little more polished sometimes, like I was with the mom yesterday when I confront stuff. And even now, man, after doing all, sometimes I'm too harsh, you know, and I got to tone it down. Having three kids has helped me with that. But you got to confront. You got to confront and not focus on the feelings, right? You focus on the finished product. And so a mentor is that, man. A mentor can't be somebody close to you. It has to be somebody that respects you.
Right. Hey, like you said, man, like they're gonna be thinking about your feelings. So if you get a mentor who doesn't care, they're gonna be 100 with you. They're gonna keep it, you know, keep 100 with you and shoot it straight. So I think that's important. Yeah. Like
somebody in your entourage, not to cut you off, somebody in your entourage can't be your mentor. And that's where I've seen some NBA players struggle in their life, is because they lean on their entourage, and their entourage is not the mentor. They're not going to tell you what you need to hear, because they love the lifestyle you're giving them. I mean, entourage are your boys, your friends, your unconditional love. No matter what those boys do, you're always going to love them because they're your boys, right?
Right.
You don't hold your physical, mental, emotional, and social being in those guys. That's where you got to go to an expert, a professional, an OG, a mentor, a man that tours your life, just going to give it to you straight.
Right. Absolutely, man. So couple more questions, man, and we're gonna wrap this thing up. Like, it's funny, like we talked about earlier, you're supposed to go maybe like 45 minutes, but I mean, you giving like this, like you talked about, like the energy, man. Like, I love the energy, so it's like, you know, why not keep it going? There's no point in cutting it off. But I appreciate you taking this time for me, man.
Yeah, you caught me on a good day, because Friday my wife stays home from work, so she's taking care of all the kids this morning. But usually I'd have to shut it down at 7 because I gotta get the kids ready for school. But today she's doing all that, so you know, might as well just keep chopping it up. And then you probably can cut this thing into probably 4 to 5 parts, you know, like a series. My opinion, that's what we might do when we get this, is I cut it up into different parts and different titles. And because we're, you know, you're giving some good stuff out there, and I think it can help people.
Yeah, without a doubt, man. So, I mean, we touched on it a little bit earlier, but in terms of like the mental space, what are what are some things mentally that higher level players have that maybe someone who's not necessarily translating to the game of basketball, what don't they have? So let's say like a high level high school player, like mentally, what are some traits, some things that you've seen in those type of players that are going to get the D1 scholarships that maybe a player who's struggling to get, you know, D2, D3 scholarships, like what are the difference between those two players mentally that you see? And even like going forward, like the high level D1 players that go on to play in the NBA, what are some things mentally that they have that other players don't have?
You know, that's a great topic. I've done a lot of podcasts, and that topic has always come up. Mental health is a huge narrative and a culture word now. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And people have to understand, young people really have to take ownership, because they control their own thoughts. They control their own emotions. However, a leader, guys like me and you, can influence and create a culture to enhance a positive, powerful swag and confidence. So, you know, not to be, you know, coiny, but, you know, confidence, man. You know, that's the difference between elite high school players and other players, is they're extroverts. They have a light. They're extroverted. They're vocal. They're show their emotions in a positive way. They manage their emotions. They're joyful. They have fun. They're competitive. They react positive. You know, Allen Stein talks about Coach K, next play. You know, they get to the next play. They don't let mistakes affect their next movement. You know, they can handle adversity. They understand that to win a battle, you got to go through some scars. You got to go through some pain. You're going to get nicks. So they don't, you know, they camouflage their weakness when they play. Mentally, they don't show frustration. They don't show pain. They don't show confusion. They might feel it. It's human, but they never show it. Their body language is very professional. And again, that comes from feelings. That comes from controlling your thoughts. That comes from being intentional, whether they're born with that or whether they had to work on that through emphasis from their coaches. But you know, and so I have some things that I always say can contribute to mental toughness, and that's, you know, number one, like we talked about, like who are their circle of contacts, you know.
Mm-hmm.
and whatever words come from their circle of contacts, that influences their mentality. Parents, coaches, teachers, fans, peers, teammates, friends. And I think number two is the individual preparation. Like when elite players work, they trust their work. They're like, oh man, I'm going to the Nike Skills Academy. Can't nobody stop me now.
Mm-hmm.
Like they trust their work, where other soft kids are like, man, I worked out, but will it pay off? There's doubt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And doubt and faith can't operate in the same vessel, man. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Shyness, you can be shy. That's fine. That's your prerogative, but you can never be great. And so,
sure.
You know, when the kids work out, like that breeds mental toughness and confidence, daily routines. They fall in love with work. They have this, placebo in their head that if they get up 100 shots, man, they're unstoppable. And so that's why you see guys like, you know, early on, J.R. Smith, right, early on in his career, didn't love to work out. I worked him out for weeks with John Lucas. You know, he was young. Allen Iverson, I grew up in his hometown. He and I were friends. We still are. I coached his son at my prep school. Allen Iverson really publicly didn't like to work out, but they were gamers. But, you know, they just had a mentality, in the game, I'm good. If I just play all day. So Allen never worked out, but he played all day. Every court right. I went to in Hampton, he was there. And he played hard. And so that's a routine you can do. That works. But they embrace whatever their formula is, man, they embrace it. You know, they think their way, they will their way to success. And then, you know, how well do they play in practice? You know, what evidence do they draw from? Do they execute with their team? Like these guys, when they go into practice, they're trying to win every drill because they correlate how they practice. It's how they're going to play. So they look at the practice just like the game. They're going to dominate. They're going to kill. They're going to destroy the B team. So they use the team execution as a way to mentally, you know, give themselves tools in their toolbox. So, they play the comparison game on social media, but it's a way to motivate them. Oh, this guy's ranked, you know, higher than me. Oh, wait till I play them. Like they use social media as a way to gain an advantage or an edge to see, am I the best? Who's the best out there? And what can I do better than? Oh, this guy filmed himself doing a 360 dunk. All right, then I'm gonna do a 580 dunk. Or hey, he made 18. Damian Lillard made 42 threes with Phil Begner, right in the workout in the corner. 42 threes in a row. Okay, man, I'm gonna see if I can do that. Like they use the comparison game in a positive way, right, to give them an edge. So you know, all of those can help, and then as a coach, right, you can have actions and activities to help these kids with their, you know, confidence and with their mental toughness. And you got to find out what kind of love language these kids have, you know. How do you motivate them? Is it gifts? Is it acts of service? Is it words of affirmation? Is it quality time? Is it touch? So all these kids, you know, I guarantee these elite kids had somebody in their life that was feeding them their love language. And so combination of all that, you know, that's mentality. That's what it just comes down to, you know, ability to believe in their work, confidence, and then the grit, as I told you, to get past adversity. Easier said than done, but that's it. That's the difference. Confidence and grit.
Yeah, it's funny because it's simple. Obviously, like you said, it's not easy. It's simple but not easy. But I think what it, you know, at least for me, man, like I put the time in and the work in and the effort, like consistently over time, and I show up like whatever it's like for a meeting or I got to give a presentation. If I've gone over that speech, you know, 1,000 times, like it doesn't have to go perfect for me, but I'm confident in it. Like I know the material, you know, like I know what I'm going to say. I know what I need to say. And that gives me more flexibility. Now I can be more creative. Now I don't have to go verbatim. Now I can, kind of go off script. But it's like you said, it's the confidence. And I believe at least with players, I think that confidence comes from, like you said, the work, but consistent work. Like you have players that like, and whatever formula works for them. But for me, like J.R. Smith and AI, like you talked about, I think their work was, them just playing, like they just hooped all day, right? And they just did it all day, every single day. And that's how they got their confidence. And some players, you know, like they may need to get in the lab and go by themselves. Maybe they need to play pickup as well, but they need to do it consistently. And like you said, we can't play Fortnite all day and then expect to have confidence going into a game It's like you gotta earn everything, man. So I think the biggest thing, like you touched on it, was like have that resiliency to get through adversity, like, because you're gonna face it. And then you know, the confidence, you gotta earn that through consistent work and then the effort. When you work hard every single day, it's real easy to be confident about something, because you're like, man, I did this every single day for a month. Like, I'm like, come on, like, how can I not be great at this? You know, like, but players don't, I don't think they do that enough, because they're not consistent. Like, they don't make the decision to be great, like we talked about. They make the preference to be great. It'd be nice, but I'm not going to invest anything into it.
Yep. Exactly.
All right, man. So one last question, man. What advice would you give yourself? You talked about this a little bit, but kind of want to get like a more like a specific answer. What advice would you give yourself, let's say 8 years ago, and would that change anything today? I know you touched on a little bit with your business a couple of years ago, but if you had like advice that you could go back in time and say, hey, Gannon, like, this is some advice I'm going to give you 8 years in the future, you know, what would it be, and would that change anything right now?
No, man. I mean, I said it before, you know, 8-10 years ago, I would have, from a business standpoint, really dove into technology, how to manage, you know, something, a big business like I had in the sense of a huge product. But how do I bring other people in it? Again, nobody was doing it. I didn't have, I just wasn't smart enough to create a team and financially support all these guys that were great. So, but I mean, to me, great, you know, to be great, you got to be consistent, man. So, you know, 10 years ago, I was doing everything I am now to be the leader I am. I mean, only difference is I have 3 kids. So, I've always been good at time management. I would say probably 10 years ago, I wish maybe I needed to learn how to be a little more organized, you know, from a business standpoint. I'm writing a book now, so 10 years ago, I probably should have started to journal more and keep the stories fresh. But again, I did that 10 years ago. Maybe I could have done a better job, but nothing really jumps out at me that I've done different. Cause I'm, you know, as I said, those two things are the only two that really jump out at me.
Right. And I appreciate that too. Cause, you know, like with me, like somebody asked me that question a couple of years ago. And if I had to ask myself that today, I wouldn't change anything, you know, as far as like, you know, the advice. I would probably, you know, probably just tell myself, hey, look, you know, these are, you know, learn how to be more organized, like you said, like discipline. But it wouldn't change. I don't think it necessarily would change anything, you know, or I would go back and try to change anything, because I would be where I am today with the lessons that I learned along the way. For me, I would just kind of look back and say, you know, I would give myself that advice, but I wouldn't try to change anything. But no, I totally, like, I respect that, man. And that's dope, man. I didn't know you were writing a book. I definitely, when it comes out, I definitely got to give it a read, man. I'm in the books, too. I got a whole stack I still need to get to. I just got Atomic Habits by James Clear.
There you go. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's I read a lot of books, and again, it's really not my idea. It's from God pushing me, and I don't want to do it. But everybody asks me, when's your book, or do you have a book? And I'm like, nah, I don't have a book, man. No, yeah, I'm not the book. I'm not an author. So I'm kind of like talking myself out of it, which is not good. But I made a commitment to do it, you know, you know, to do it even though you don't feel like it, because maybe it will turn into something that's real. But it's always, I'm out of my comfort zone. You know, my friend Alan set the bar high. He came out with a good one. My mentor really came out with a great one. Why the best of the best, Kevin Eastman. And so that's kind of my circle. We, you know, if people won't, they'll find us three in 2015, 2014, we sat down and for like one summer, we were going to go on this kind of tour, leadership thing, you know, and we were going to call it the best series, right? Baker, mm-hmm. Baker, Eastman, Stein together, the best, right? and we didn't, you know, we all went our separate ways, but, you know, that's, and so they wrote the book on why the best of the best and raise your game. And so some of that to me is like, you know what, I got to stand, I got to write my own little version, but I got to figure it out. Like there's so many, you know, there's so many ways I can go because I love basketball. I love coaches. I love leaders in the industry. It's what I do now. But I mean, I got a heart for the parent that don't even love basketball, but is just trying to survive in life. I got a heart for, you know, people in the church that I go to that struggle to find out what God has given them as a purpose. You know, my wife and I, our platform for basketball is to break racism, poverty, and laziness. And there's so much mm-hmm. mediocrity and laziness within our public education system. Like, I feel sorry for some of these teachers because they can touch eternity and they don't even realize that they let the monotony, right, in the bureaucratic system of education in our country get to them and grind on them. And so they would quit if they could, but they don't know what else to do. They went to college, poured all this money into being a teacher, mm-hmm. and now they're financially strapped, they're spiritually poor, physically they're ailing because they work 6, 7, 8 hours a day in school, and they go home and they don't feel like working out, so they just sit on the couch and get fat. Like, I have mm-hmm. a tremendous heart for teachers and people that need to, you know, ramp up their life and be the best version of themselves. And so, and they don't even know about basketball. So I'm debating on which way to go, but I want to create something that's not just for, you know, basketball people, but it's for everybody to have a great life, you know?
Right. No, I love that, man. My sister's actually she's a teacher, and I think, you know, it's funny, like, looking back, I was always kind of against. My mom's like, hey, why don't you go into teaching? And I was kind of against it, but my sister became a teacher. I saw her passion, just try to help other people, try to help, like, fifth graders, you know, just really simple things, but the passion that she had for it, like, going in her classroom, like, setting it up, like, doing the little things so that way, like, they can learn something, you know, like, because it's a fun activity. Just the passion I saw that she had for it, it inspired me. And now, like, I respect it so much because I do it now, right? And, like, now it's like I was, you know, I was so against it, but now I'm looking at different ways. How can these athletes learn this? How can they learn this? Okay, well, how can I teach them how to be young men and women? You know, so now I'm trying to learn and figure out, like, how I can be a better educator and better teacher and mentor. And, you know, it's for me, it's just, I think we all should, we all do that, you know, at some point in our lives, whether we're a parent or, you know, we're a trainer, a coach, like, we're teaching someone to do something, based on the best, like, you know, best experience and the best, knowledge that we have. And, we try to pour into them in any way we can. But no, I think, I respect the fact that you said that, like, the big heart you have for teachers, because, you know, I think that's the only way we're gonna grow as a, you know, in the world, is if we teach others.
Yeah, and teachers have that passion, man. A lot of them still do, but there's also a lot that, man, just struggle. So I want to give them, because I used to speak at schools and do a little basketball routine, and I would do maybe 30 in a year. I did that for like 4 or 5 years, and I enjoyed that, and I got to talk to teachers a lot and see live and what they're going through, and so it hurt me a little bit to see them not maximizing their you know, the classroom. So yeah, so we'll see, man. You know, we'll see. Maybe somebody listening to this can contact me and give me some advice and encourage me to, you know, keep writing, keep putting thoughts down.
All right. And speaking of that, that's going to be the last thing as we wrap it up. Is you know, how can people find you, Gannon? Like, Instagram, Twitter, email, like, whatever it is that you have that people can reach you, your website. I'll put them in the show notes, but how can people reach you and find you?
Yeah, it's a blessing that people would reach me. I'd love to help them out with basketball and life questions. If they spell my name right on Google, it's easy to find me. G-A-N-O-N-B-A-K-E-R. A lot of people spell it with three N's, G-A-N-N, but it's G-A-N-O-N-B-A-K-E-R. I'm on Instagram. Got two accounts, personal and business, Twitter, business, and Facebook, personal and business. And my website is GannonBakerBasketball.com. So it's
right.
You know, I always tell people, man, if you really want something, you'll find it. You know, you gotta, you know, sometimes it's hard to find, but you know, your why has to be stronger than your you know, obstacles and your walls that you run into. Your why has to be stronger than the walls you'll run into, and eventually you'll find it. So right. People really want to, and I hope that, I mean, we're trying to make it easier for people to contact us, but to me, I'm not tech savvy, but it really, that's because I always do this, man. I tell people, look, man, I'm going to train you for a week. I'm going to train you for a month. I'm going to train you for a day. If you really want to be good, right, and you really find value in what I do, I'll be there for you. I'm not just showing up, getting a paycheck, leaving you, right? If you really want to be good, right, here's my number. Here's my email. Contact me. I promise. I'll be back to you. Sometimes 24 hours, sometimes 24 minutes, sometimes maybe a week, but I promise I'll get back to you. And you can ask me anything about life or basketball. Xavier, what percentage of people you think take advantage of that?
To be honest, less than 10.
Yeah, I haven't done the research, but I would say less than 5%, man. Less than 5%.
That sounds about right.
like we get hundreds of messages a week, but it's not from the same clients that I've worked out, you know. Now, I will give this guy credit. I worked out a pro from Dubois in August. His name is Mann, M-A-N-N, and he plays in the pro league over there in Lebanon, in Dubois. I told him, I said, look, here's the same spiel. Now, you won't get back to me because research says most of the guys that work out just, you know, they go on their own. They don't use me anymore unless they come back physically. They'll come back. I get a lot of return clients. Yeah. But there's no, like if, you know, if somebody in my industry, if somebody in my life was successful and had information I didn't have and they offered their number, man, like John Lucas, like he did that to me, man. I call that sucker once a month, man. Just picking his brain. What's up? How are we doing? What did you learn? Man, these guys, they don't do that. They take the picture and they think live is enough, and it's not live. It's a relationship, man. You got to continue to ask questions, build, you know, take advantage of the resources you got, because sometimes if you disrespect the opportunity, it may never come again. But this guy, man, he's been hitting me up every other week. Every other week, man. He's and so we go through scenarios and stuff. Another guy in the Philippines does it. So, yeah, less than 5%, man. I don't know about your clients, but and I don't chase them. Look, I don't check. I don't say, hey, happy birthday. Hey, I just want to wish my guy. I don't do that. I should. You know, it's no disrespect to the players that I train, but you know, my time is, and this is something that might set some people free out there. Like, you know, my most important time management is my family, my kids, myself, my self-development. The next client that I'm worried about the kid I'm working out Sunday, not who I worked out 20 weeks ago. He just dropped 50. I don't have that much time, man. I don't know how these guys do it. Like, they're hitting up 50 clients. Yeah, my guy, happy birthday. He just got married. Like, man, y'all, God bless y'all. I don't have that much, I don't have that much time. But I get it. Some people's business are more quality, and they only have a few clients, where I'm a little different. I just work out everybody in the world.
All right.
So I, you know, so I don't follow up on people very much, but I do am open. Like, you call me anytime, and it's like this, you and I've never met, but I mean, we've been on the phone almost 2.5 hours. So that's, you know, that's the way I roll. So I'm all, anybody listen, I'm always open. And if you need my help, I'm here.
Yeah. And by the way, Gannon is a man of his word. Like, I reached out to him. He got back to me. He's like, hey, look, here's how we're going to set up the you know, the call and everything. Like, if you reach out to him, he'll definitely, you know, get back to you. And like you said, it's funny, like you said that, like, if you disrespect an opportunity, it may not ever come back. That's so true, man. Yeah, I think there's been times where, when I was younger, you know, I had, you know, opportunities to do things and, you know, kind of pissed it away because I wasn't grateful for the opportunity. Like, oh, okay, like, you know, not right now. And that comes with gratitude. Like, I understand, like, look, yeah, this may not ever happen again. And then just the passion too. Like, you know, I'm very passionate about what I do. So all that tied together means, like, if I got to wake up at 2:30, you know, like, and head to work in about an hour or so, whatever, after we get out the call, like, to me, that's nothing, you know, because I know it's an opportunity to talk to one of the best in the world, not just about basketball, but just about life in general and, you know, about learning and, you know, his philosophy. To me, that's valuable. That's so valuable. Like, to me, I don't care if I sleep 3 hours. Like, to me, it's easy, you know.
Yeah.
But nah, man. Like, I just really want to get you on here and just have people learn from you, not just like the X's and O's, because everyone wants that, but the intangibles that you can't really teach, or, you know, that most people don't even look for. You know, that you gave today, your time, your energy, and your philosophy. To me, that's gold right there.
Yeah, well, thank you, man. You and, you know, me too. I've pissed some opportunities away, learned from my mistakes. But what you said is important, man. The core values that you want to teach as a coach and a leader, you know, the emotional and the mental and the spiritual stuff, it's not going to be as impactful if you don't live it. So, you know, that's why some OGs and older coaches are great, because they've lived a lot of the core values that they're teaching you. So it's a more impactful, genuine message, and it delivers better than just reading it in a book, memorizing it, like you said, and then teaching it. If you don't live it, people will know. And spiritually, it's not as impactful. Like, I always believe coaches can change a player's life in a workout, in a drill, in an hour. Why? Because I've seen it happen with others, and this happened to me. And so the only way you do that is if you really try to live, you know, what you learn. And I think you do that, man. So hats off.
Thank you for listening to the Basketball and Barbells podcast. I really hope you all got major value from today's episode. Please leave a rating and review of the show, and don't forget to tune into the next episode.